Today is the first Sunday in February, the 4th. Our message this morning is entitled, The Rebuilding of God. And I pulled it originally from Exodus 20, verses 1 through 6, and Isaiah 61. And then I threw in the Jesus passage in Matthew 22. So, here's a question. Does anybody remember in February of 2003 what questions God asked me when He extended the call to me to be your pastor? There are two questions that He asked me in 2003. I was literally leading a Bible study at Victorious Christian Living International on a Monday night, and the topic was love. And in the midst of leading this Bible study with people in this group, God spoke to my life. And He asked me two questions. Does anybody remember what one of them is? Yes, there's one. Do you love these people? Was the second question. And the first one was, do you think I could use you for those people to have a better relationship with me? Was the first question He asked me. Do you think I could use you? I'm in the midst of a Bible study leading people to a deeper love relationship with God. And it's kind of one of those rhetorical questions that He asks periodically. Like, where are you, Adam? Like, duh. You know, last week, Hagar, where are you going? Duh. He already knew she was pregnant. She was going to have a boy and what the boy was going to do. What? You know, the rhetorical. And I responded to him, well, I guess. This is going on internally in my spirit while I'm talking to people and reading the Bible and asking questions. I have dual processors. And sometimes my wife says neither one of them work correctly. But at that time, I responded to him, well, you know, you've done that in the past. So, yeah, you can do anything. I don't have any confidence in what you can do. I mean, I don't have any lack of confidence, I should say, in what you can do. I have a significant lack in confidence of what I'm good for. But you, Lord, can do anything, and you, Lord, can use anyone. You are that magnificent. And then when it got to the question, do you love those folks? Well, I told him, I don't know. I've only been there a couple of times. I don't know those people. You know? And so I went home and told my wife, and I said, well, I think if I answer both of those questions, yes, I should take the job. And she said, well, good. How long will that take you? And I said, well, I'll just look at them all this next Sunday, and I'll just make a decision in my soul whether I love them or not. I happened to be teaching on John chapter 3, and when we got in the van and didn't even break the city limits of the big complex of Kalita, she says, well? I said, well, what? She said, do you love those people? Oh, I knew I forgot something. So the next week, when I wasn't teaching on John chapter 3, I did look at all of you folks. Some of you weren't here at that time. But, and I told the Lord, yeah, I don't know why I do, but I think I love those people. So I told Uncle Donnie, I said, well, you know, I don't know how to do this job, but I'll try. So the whole basis of why God called me here is really a love relationship. First and foremost is your personal relationship with Him. A personal love relationship with a living, holy, awesome God. That's the first purpose. The second one is for us to learn to love each other. And that's the whole process that we're going to talk about in this lesson. In Exodus, God spoke all these words. Isn't it cool? The Bible even is on the book of Exodus there. Do you notice that? This is in red. I'm the Lord God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them and worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the father to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So, what's God rebuilding? God's rebuilding relationships with humans. In this first in this step of the process, he's giving us a guideline for the relationship. Now, I happen to have in the trunk of my car my carpenter's bucket. And I took out of my bucket this ball of string and this device here. Who knows what this is? It's a plumb bob. I was teasing Howard. I said, I wonder how many guys today, when they finish their apprenticeship in carpenter, I was an apprentice carpenter and became a craftsman carpenter years ago. My dad was a carpenter. I grew up in a carpenter's home. And so when I was in high school and I was looking for a job, my dad said, well, hey, I can get you in the union. And you can apprentice. I says, cool. Does it pay good? Yeah. He told me what it paid. Okay, I'm in. And when I finished my apprenticeship, my craftsman gave me a plumb bob, this one. I wonder how many craftsmen today get a plumb bob. It's probably a laser level. It's computer guided, right, Michael? But here's the point. This guideline is perfectly plumb. It doesn't matter whether Alan swings this or whether Don bumps into it or whether I give it a good old swing. It will always come back to perfectly plumb. Now, there's two concepts in carpentry, and you use this device these days to do this. This is a 4-foot level, and you can see that man has put a bubble of air in oil in these little glass tubes, and when you stand that up and you put that bubble right square in the middle, see that pew is just a little out of plumb. It's just an eighth of a bubble off, right? Or you can flip the level this way, and then you get level. So plumb is vertical, and level is horizontal. In the rebuilding process, you need to know what the guideline is. What's plumb? God's guideline for you and I is very specific. It will always be that narrow line. No matter where you are, anywhere on this globe, if you hang a string with a plumb bob in it, you can get perfectly plumb. Now, Clarence and I have been to Africa. They don't know that in Africa because many of the buildings in Africa, when you look at them, you kind of list. If Italy has a tower that leans, most of the things that they build in Africa, Julie's laughing because we went to stay in this house and she said, is that window really crooked? I said, yeah, it's about 1¾ inches out of level in plumb. But it was a window. And they just cut them to fit. You know, it's all hand built. So the guideline is very exacting. And what is God's guideline? Here it is. Whoops. That was supposed to be one click and it went two. Get back there. Here is the guideline. It's very narrow. I am the Lord your God and you shall have no other gods before me. That's it. That's the guideline. God is first. In all of your love relationships, He has got to be numero uno. Because He was first, because He always was, because He is totally worthy, because of His deep love, compassion, and kindness, and generosity, and amazingness, He is always first, and you cannot put anybody in competitiveness with Him. If you're building or rebuilding a love relationship with God, that's the plumb line. God's first. And He has always got to be first. Now then, what does Jesus have to say about this? Jesus, when He came to earth, of all the occupations He could have been a singer, could have been a dancer, couldn't He? He could have been a plumber, thaw out our pipes today, couldn't He? He could have been a potter. Could have been a public speaker. What did He choose to be? A carpenter. Why did He choose to be a carpenter? Everything that God does from this first step in rebuilding the love relationship with humans is all about, I want to rebuild the relationship with you that I originally created you for in the Garden of Eden before your ancestor Adam rebelled against me. I am in the process of rebuilding a love relationship with you. Jesus came as a carpenter to teach us and to train us in this concept that we need to build. And we need to build a love relationship with Him and with each other. And any of you, we celebrated an anniversary. And I don't know whether you guys would agree with me on this, but Julie and I, in our love relationship of 30 plus years, it's six now, isn't it? We're on the 36th lap. It's a rebuilding and a building process. Would you guys agree with that? To make a marriage work, the newness, that new car smell, wears off pretty dang quick. That new car smell wears off pretty darn quick. Usually, first time you come into the bathroom and you think, how can anybody who looks so good... Anyway, I won't finish that story. But that's the way it is in relationships with children. When you have children, you're building a relationship, and most of your relationship with them is rebuilding. Because we as fathers and we as mothers and them as rebellious kids, we're all stiff-necked, arrogant, corrupt to the core critters, and you have to rebuild relationships. It's the way it is. So, what did Jesus have to say about this? Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, what are they talking about? They're talking about Exodus, aren't they? Only we're looking at it in Matthew. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Okay? You see the vertical. Got the vertical? What is it? Plumb. You love the Lord God with everything you got. That's the first one. Now then. And the second, that's the first click. Click. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The law and the prophets, all of it hangs on those two commandments. So here's the concept that I want you to get. Now, I could do that up here. I could take that wooden structure and I could go like this and I could go like that. Do you get the concept? You could look in the back. There's a wooden structure in the back that has perfectly plumb and perfectly level on it. Do you see it? Everybody look at that one back there. Do you see that one back there on the wall? You get the picture. What is God trying to teach us in everything? It's these two things. I want you to love me, and I want you to love each other. And you need Him to really know what love is, and you really need Him to love other people. Now, this blank is, here's your two choices. And as you read the Bible, God will never give you any more than two choices. It's either to the right or to the left. When they flip the coin today at the Super Bowl, it'll either be heads or tails. There's only two choices. I read a cute blonde joke where a blonde went to her first football game and she thought the whole game they fought over that quarter. Because everybody kept yelling, get the quarterback! She thought the whole game was to try to win that, get that quarter. It's not true. Now then, so your two choices are you can either love God or you can hate God. Now, I shared with you earlier that I am obviously a fair-weathered Bears fan because this doesn't have ear flaps on it. Okay? Based on the colors, blue and orange. Is there any question who your pastor has chosen to cheer for in the Super Bowl game? But the reality is, you got to choose one, don't you? You either choose the Bears or those other people that have that lucky horseshoe on their head. You know, they just took the same emblem and turned it the other way. But I'm going to cheer for the Bears, right? It's not that I hate the Colts. I don't. I really respect the coach and several of the players on the team. I respect them. But I love the Bears. I mean, this is one of the two fitted hats in my closet. The other one has a C on it. It's a different color of blue. It's also a Chicago's team. We aren't doing as well as the Bears at this stage, but... But I love them more than I love the Colts. Does that make sense? Now, When you think about your love relationship with God, you've got to love Him. You've got to decide to love Him more than any other competitor. Does that make sense? It's really that simple. And if you don't decide to love Him more than anybody else, you hate Him. That's His plumb line. It's not mine. You know, I probably would have designed it different if I was doing it. But that's the way He designed it. So it's really that simple. It's either plumb or it's out of plumb. And sometimes your life relationship will oscillate back and forth. But what I believe will happen before the end of the sermon is that will come back to perfect plumb. And I believe the sovereignty of God in your life, no matter what you get bumped off by, what you bump into in life and it knocks it off plumb, I can even make that do a circle. And it will come back to plumb. If God's call is on your life, you will come back. And the sooner you decide to love Him, the quicker that thing will slow down. And you'll come back to plumb, and you'll come back to the relationship with Him. So, important thing for me to ask you is, what is love? If I'm asking you to love God, what is it? So here's what I believe it is. Is love a feeling? Is your first blank. Is love a thought? Your second blank. Or is love a decision of the will? Your third blank. And the reality is, love is all of those things. Love is a feeling, and most young people, we have ladies going to a bridal fair today. Sensory overload is what I call those things. You know? Like going into Bed Bath & Beyond is too much for anyone's human senses to, you know? And probably what will happen is sensory overload. You probably look at so much stuff, you'll get blown away. But it's a lot of feelings and thoughts, isn't it? Let me ask you a question. I live in a three-story home. I have a basement level, I have a middle level, and I have a third level. Okay? In the third level of my house is my master bedroom and my master bathroom. When the Lord decided to burn down the tabernacle, have I ever told you the tabernacle story before? Well, one of these days I got to tell you the tabernacle story. But the Lord struck my master bedroom with lightning and burned it up, and I replaced a whole bunch of things, and one of the things that needed to be repaired was my master bathroom. And they, amateur trim carpenters, put in a new door in my bathroom. Okay? Now, here's the point of the story. Yesterday and today, that door will not close completely. It'll get to where the part of the latch is going into the threshold, and it sticks. And if you push it hard enough, it will close, but when you pull it to open, you think you're going to tear the veneer right off the door. So you just wedge it close. Now, why in the last 2 days has that door decided not to work? Because it's been cold. What happens is when the frost goes over 3 foot into the ground, it lifts the foundation of that three-story house. And on the third floor, the door doesn't work right. But once it warms up, all summer long, spring and fall, that door will work just perfect. Once the frost goes out of the ground. Okay? Do you understand the concept? Now, it's the same way in your love relationship. It's built on the footings and the foundation. Your love relationship with God is a decision that you make. I don't believe you can make that decision unless His Holy Spirit calls you to. But when His Holy Spirit calls you to make a decision to receive Him as Savior and a decision to rebuild and renew and improve your love relationship, it all comes from there. And then the next main floor is your thoughts. You spend more time thinking about God and your love relationship with Him. Now, those of you who are in love relationships, do you think about the person you're in love with? Well, yeah. Duh. You know, that's why I'm telling the guys, come to the dinner and the movie on the 10th and you don't have to think about what to do for Valentine's Day. I'm bringing you to church, honey. I'm taking you to God. Every marriage needs it. Every relationship needs it. But you think about them, don't you? And do you get all feely sometimes? Ah. big smiles? Do you? Do you get some real wrinkle up the forehead and we all be jiggered if I'm going to... You get those feelings too? Well, yeah. There's lots of feelings in love and not all of them are bubbly champagne good ones. Those people can hurt you more and make you madder. Right? Because you love them. It's the same way with God. So when you build a... What is love with God? It's a decision of my will. I decide to love Him. I decide which one I decide. You choose one or the other, right? So you decide to love Him and you think about Him. You think about Him all the time. You talk to Him all the time, right? In a love relationship, you got to talk periodically. So, what's the effect of living within God's guideline? The cool thing is, He lets me decide. He tells me the effects before I make my choice. So here they are. If I live within God's guidelines, He will show love to 1,000 generations. Now, is that a good deal? 1,000 generations. How many? If you wanted to say my great, great, great grandchildren, 1,000 on. Is that an interesting effect? How many of you reading the Bible with me this morning? Notice this. All you had to do is read just a couple verses in chapter 34, our Old Testament reading. And the context is, Moses says, hey, I want to see you. He says, tuck yourself in the rock. I'll go by. You can look at my butt, but you can't look at my face because if you look at my face, it'll kill you. And God goes by, and here's how God explains Himself to Moses. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed His name. And this is what the Lord said. And the Lord passed in Moses, front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord compassionate, the Lord gracious, the gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to 1,000s, and forgiving the wickedness and rebellion of their sin. That's how God introduced Himself. Yet, He does not leave the guilty unpunished. The wonder of this God that we are trying to rebuild a relationship with, for 1,000s of generations, He will bless your family. But if you choose to live outside those guidelines, if you live outside the guideline, He will punish the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and the fourth generations. So 3 or 4 to 1,000. That's 3 or 4 or 1,000. What do you want? If I'm giving you dollars, you want 3 or 4 or a grand? Take a grand. Sure. Right? Isn't it nice? I mean, you get a grand in the mail. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So, seeing the effect, what will your decision be today? He shows you the effect beforehand. You can choose. You can love me or hate me. Here's the call. You can have either one, whichever one you choose. Now, here's an important question. Does this Old Covenant passage in Exodus have anything to do with a grace-based New Covenant Bible church like us? If we're a New Covenant church, and Exodus is the Old Covenant, does that still hold true? In the rebuilding process, has God moved to another level? Yes. He has moved to another level. So, here in Jeremiah, you see the new step in this rebuilding relationship. In those days, people will no longer say the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Instead, everyone will die for their own sin. Whoever eats sour grapes, his own teeth will be set on edge. Here's the introduction of the new covenant that you and I live in. It's a personal deal now. Every one of us is personally responsible for our love relationship with God. You can't blame the father. Well, my dad didn't follow the Lord, so I'm cursed to the third and fourth generation. That was the old deal. This is a new deal. He's moved to another level in the construction process. You are personally responsible for your love relationship with God. Now, is He still a compassionate God that blesses thousands? Absolutely. He will always outbless the judgment. He always will. That's just in His nature. But each of us as individuals has to take responsibility for that. A time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And if you read Matthew with me this week in the New Testament, in the parable of the marriage feast, Jesus was explaining because the Jews didn't keep up with this husband-wife relationship, he's going to invite all the street people in. Guess who that is? Us Gentiles. Us Gentiles are the gig now. So, it will not be like the covenant I made with your forefathers when I took them by the hand, just like a daddy leading his little kid out of Egypt, because they broke the covenant. Though I was a husband to them, declared the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel in the time to come, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and in their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother say, know the Lord, because they'll know me. From the least to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sin no more. This is a new covenant that you and I live in. So, do we live after Exodus? Yeah, so that layer of the construction project is done. Do we live after Jeremiah? Yeah, so that part of the construction process is done. We're moving on to the next layer, the next level in the process. And it says right there, Isaiah 61, verse 4, then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated. They will renew and rebuild the cities which have been devastated for generations. Now, who is he talking to there? He's talking to us. Take your bulletins and look at the very front cover. On the very front cover of your bulletin, it says this, our vision is to release the life of Jesus and transform saints. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Do you think today's message is good news? God loves? You can rebuild a relationship with Him. That plumb bob is almost stopped. No matter what bumps into you, you can come back to plumb. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom to the captives, release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God. You see that mathematical equation? What is it? 365 to 1. You get it? There's 365 days of His favor. But nobody gets away with anything. There is a day of accountability. Right? But you see the overwhelming love of God. A whole year of favor to one day of correction and discipline. That's the loving God that I want you to come to know. The day of vengeance of a God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Isaiah 61, 1, 2, 3. What comes after 3? 4. And that's what's up there. When you look at those verses, that's what Jesus, when He announced His public ministry in His hometown, that's what He read. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. That's part of our mission statement as a church. We are to be rebuilders. Now, is your family as messed up as mine? Probably not. But is your family perfect? Probably not. We can rebuild the devastations. So, will you work with God in rebuilding a love relationship? That's the decision. Will you work with Him? Will you come on the job site and let Him work in you and work through you to rebuild a relationship? You'll either say, yes, I will, and you put on that hat and say, I'm on your team. I'm cheering for you. I've made my decision. I'm following you. Or you won't. And you'll hate Him. The consequences of the B choice are not pretty. I choose the love relationship. God's guideline, first and foremost, is that I love Him more than anything else. Then, that I love Him more than I love myself. So, those are the guidelines. Will I love Him more than anybody else? Will you? Will we as a church? Will we as a church love each other more than we love ourselves? Or will we always be thinking of our own self? That's the call. That's the challenge. So, in John, in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7, there's these words that John writes. And John, the Revelator, is primarily a love guy, isn't he? When you look at all the disciples, he's the one that Jesus loved. And arguably, his life has impacted and affected more people for the kingdom of God than any other disciple. When you think of how many times Billy Graham has stood up and read John 3:16, and thousands of people come forward and accept Christ. When you've ever heard Lewis Plow? I've met Lewis Plow before. How many times has he used John 3:16? How many millions of people will probably come through John? Probably when we get to heaven, he probably will be the humblest, nicest guy there, but probably the one that did the most. And it's because of his love for the Lord and the Lord's love for him. How can you have an impact on your culture, your community, your family? Love God. Love Him more than anybody else or anything else. And love everybody else more than you love yourself. I was on my way home from the office Monday night. It had not been one of the better days. I felt lousy. I felt terrible. I got home. I was actually crabby with Julie that night. She said, "You need to take some NyQuil and go to bed. You know, you're crabby." I felt terrible. And I did what I normally don't do. I normally just sit in the car quietly and drive home and talk to the Lord. And I was bummed. So I punched the radio button, and it was on a country western station. And this guy came on, and it just so happened when I punched the button, it was the first chord of a guitar string. And he sang this amazing love song of how deeply he was in love with this woman. And the whole 4 minutes, 16 seconds of the song was how much he loved this person. And the last words of the song is, "I love her so much that I would die for this girl." And the guitar trails off. And I punched the radio button, and I was sitting there, and my tears were freezing as they fell down my cheeks, because it was a little cold Monday night. And I thought, Lord, do I love you as much as that country western singer loves that girl? You know, I love you more than Jules, more than my kids, more than my grandkids. You know, do I? You know, someday, sir, I just don't know. Someday I think I'm a half a bubble off. I'm not in plumb anymore. My level's out of level. By the time I got home, it had worn off. I was back to crabby again. But here's the deal. Here's what John says. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. When I asked you what is love earlier, that's how I came up with this conclusion. What is love? God is. In the purest sense, God is holy and God is love. That's it. And He is wholly full of love for fouled up, messed up humans like you and me. And He wants to use our lives as a testimony. God is love. This is how God shows His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an anointing, atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if you love one another, God lives in us. And His love is made complete in us. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. So, We know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Marty and the worship folks are coming up to lead us in a closing. Hasn't been a real complex message, has it? I'm challenging you in this day and in this year to work with God in rebuilding a love relationship.